Like,
thanks be to God. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and you teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and you show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Now, whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they had heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A young lady was soaking up the sun's rays on a Florida beach when a little boy in his swimming trunks carrying a towel came up to her and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She was surprised by the question, but she replied, "Well, yes, I do." Then he asked her, "And do you go to church every Sunday?" Again, her answer was yes. Then he asked, "Do you read your Bible and pray every day?" And again she said yes. By now her curiosity was very much aroused. The little lad sighed with relief and said, "Will you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" The little boy was direct and honest. The Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians, however, weren't either honest or direct. They thought that they'd come up with a great question to ask this teaching fellow, this Jesus in the temple. If he answered, "Yes, it is lawful to pay the tax to Caesar," he'd certainly alienate the public, who had just shown how much they valued him as a leader when they welcomed him as a king entering Jerusalem on a donkey. On the other hand, if he said that the tax wasn't lawful, he'd be setting himself up for prosecution for sedition, for inciting rebellion against the Roman authorities. It almost sounds like the kind of question a reporter might ask a presidential candidate, doesn't it? Maybe a little background would be helpful here for us in understanding the nuances of this passage. First, the tax that people asked about was one imposed by Rome upon every resident of the empire, including all of the Jewish residents of Judea and Samaria and Galilee. It was paid with a denarius, a coin that was valued as equivalent to the usual wages paid to a laborer for one day's work. As you might imagine, the Judeans really resented the tax. And although they didn't have a situation like ours with separation of church and state, they did consider their faith in Yahweh, God of the Old Testament, to be distinct, different from the influence of the Roman oppressors. In fact, The setting up of money changers' operations in the outer courtyard of the temple, you remember the people who Jesus had attacked earlier in the week before this passage takes place and had thrown out of the temple, that was for the purpose of exchanging the Roman coins that had images of Caesar on them for shekels, the Jewish coins that worshipers would use to make an offering inside the temple. This would allow the worshipers to remain ritually pure, not using Roman coins for their worship offering. The denarius was troublesome to Jews for two reasons. The graven image of Caesar's head on the coin and the legend Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of divine Augustus, were on the face of the coin. So the Roman emperor was identified as God, and his image was on the coin, both in violation of the first and second commandments, which the Jews had received way back in the wilderness, as reported in Exodus 20, verses 2 to 4. Also, the people who had gathered to challenge Jesus and his authority this time were disciples of the Pharisees and Herodians. Now, we haven't heard much about the Herodians before. They were a pro-Roman political group who supported the reign of the Herods, the family who the Romans had made kings of the colony of Judea. Usually, the Pharisees, who wanted a return of Judean independence from Rome, and the Herodians were opposed to each other's positions. But in this case, they came together to try to set up Jesus, since both groups would have been happy to see him arrested, or at least to be diminished in his influence with the public. So Jesus' response to their question was ingenious. When he asked them to show him one of the coins that would be used to pay the tax to Rome, he showed them to be unfaithful to the purity laws. They had entered the temple with the idolatrous Roman coins on their persons. The hypocrisy is obvious, says one commentator. They are happy to do business with Caesar's coins. Why then should they raise a religious question about giving Caesar his due? But Jesus' response was, okay, so whose head is this on this coin and whose title? And they replied, the emperor's. And he concluded, well, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. The Pharisees and Herodians' question challenged Jesus' social status, but his reply restored it immediately. Matthew tells us that when they heard this, they were amazed and they left him and went away. Sounds like he shut them up. Exactly what the people should pay to Caesar. Jesus replied to the question in such a way that the people, the ones he had been teaching in the temple all along before being interrupted by Pharisees and chief priests and Herodians, they would be reassured. In Jewish religious thought, foreign kings had power over Israel only by permission from God. Tax may be paid to Caesar, but only because it is by God's will that Caesar rules. When God chooses to liberate his people, Caesar's power will avail him nothing. So the people, although they were unhappy with Roman rule, knew that one day God would release them from that oppression. This concept of God's power being exercised through other rulers is presented in our first lesson today as well. That passage relates back to about 540 BC, half a millennium before Jesus' teaching in the temple. The people of Judah, which was an earlier name for Judea, had been defeated in war by the Babylonians. They had taken most of the Judahites to live in exile in Babylon. You've heard this before. But then, finally, in about 540, Cyrus, who was king of Persia, defeated the Babylonians in war, and shortly after that, about 2 years later, allowed the former residents of Jerusalem to return to the city, to rebuild it from how it had been completely destroyed, and to rebuild the temple. In the passage from Isaiah that we heard this morning, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, is an interesting observation. Recall that in Hebrew, the anointed is the Messiah, the chosen one. So God is calling Cyrus the Messiah or a Messiah. God is using Cyrus as the king chosen, but chosen for what? For the sake of Jacob and Israel, as mentioned further down in our passage. They also were described as my chosen and my servant. As with Caesar in Jesus' time, so with Cyrus when Jerusalem was rebuilt, the foreign and not God-worshiping king was empowered by God for the good of God's chosen people. So what does Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians help us to understand about our lives? We might say that although there were to be no graven images of Yahweh God, God's image has been on God's people in living flesh and blood instead of on coins or anything else since men and women were created. We hear that, don't we, in Genesis, the first chapter. Man and woman were created in God's image. We might also say that since Jesus was fully human, he also was made in God's image. So we know something about the image of God. And it's varied, isn't it? We live out God's image in our daily lives. Like Jesus, we are confronted by people who seek to undermine us sometimes, or they seek to question our faith in the triune God. We receive from our government benefits, but at times, what we receive may not be all that beneficial. They may not be free gifts. They may have strings attached, not always apparent at first. We may have to decide how far we will go along with a program or a campaign if it seems to require us to depart from the tenets of our faith. So does God, what God says to us in scripture, in prayer, in dreams, in the words of other believers, ever leave us amazed and speechless as the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians were? After Jesus' reply to their question? Do our answers to people's questions about our faith ever leave them amazed and speechless? God empowers us in faith and in the community of faith that is the church to have hope, hope to get through times that are difficult, as is this current time with the world pandemic, the political and social upheaval around us, and personal losses that we have experienced. And God reminds us of the way to live the life of faith, first by having given us Jesus, the way, whose example we find in the Gospels, and whose Holy Spirit lives in and among us. And we also have the examples of the lives of the apostles. As Paul said in his first letter to the Thessalonians, you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired of the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, my brethren and brothers and sisters, in spite of the fact that our lives are difficult right now, are we inspired to imitate Christ? And are we an inspiration to others to imitate Christ? Let's pray. You have placed us in this world, Lord, to proclaim the gospel, the good news that brings us hope. You have placed us in this world, Lord, to preach and teach and make disciples of all people. You have told us that it won't be easy. No, not a walk in the park. But you've also assured us and shown us time and time again that you are with us every step of the way. Even as we mourn the deaths of our beloved sisters in Christ over the last 3 months, we ask for strength and courage to take on people like the Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians, those the people we will meet today who will oppose us, to overcome their traps so that we can continue to do your will in our every waking day and to rest in your peace every night. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.